A major U.S. city has pledged to move money out of policing and into other social programs. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the number of laid-off people signing up for unemployment benefits has fallen again. This covers the week that ended Saturday, with 1.9 million people applying for unemployment. That is down from 2.4 million a week earlier. We do note that the number of people continuing to draw jobless benefits went up to 21.5 million, meaning the rehiring has been slow. Here's Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
It is a start in the right direction. We're also seeing continuing claims start to come off as states reopen. What we worry about, of course, is the social unrest we've seen, which has turned much more peaceful recently, does disrupt a lot of economic activity as well. And I worry this will be a long summer, given the high level of unemployment we're still going to be enduring.
Also today, the European Central Bank has added more coronavirus stimulus, $672 billion more in bond buying, and doing it for longer. That'll be greeted with open arms by many.
It is greeted by open arms, and what's important about it is that instead of waiting for things to get worse, the ECB has stepped up and preempted some of the pain that they're going to be feeling in Europe, which I think is very important. Usually, the European Central Bank is more of a laggard than a leader.
Economist Diane Swonk, after the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, there are calls from around the country to defund the police, as some protesters put it. This is about shifting big money into programs that improve the livelihoods of and investing in communities of color. The Los Angeles Police Protective League, which represents LAPD officers, said that cutting much funding on the scale proposed would be, quote, dangerous. Marketplace's Nova Safo is in Southern California with more. Nova, what are LA city officials proposing to do?
Well, it's been an extraordinary scene there. Thousands of protesters outside City Hall yesterday while LA Mayor Eric Garcetti was announcing $250 million in cuts across all departments, a large portion, $100 to $150 million, from the police department. Here's what Garcetti said about where that money is going.
So we could invest in jobs, in health, in education, and in healing. And that those dollars need to be focused on our Black community here in Los Angeles, as well as communities of color and women and people who have been left behind for too long.
Now, the cuts amount to at most 8% of the LA Police Department's existing $1.86 billion budget.
Los Angeles appears to be the first big city to make a move in response to these protests. Do we know more about how other cities are responding?
There's been a range. Just this week, the mayor of Philadelphia proposed increasing the police budget. In Minneapolis, the school district canceled its security contract with the police department there. And over in Austin, Texas, later today, we're expecting protesters to urge city officials to essentially do something similar as Los Angeles is proposing.
Nova, thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The number of laid-off people signing up for unemployment benefits has fallen again. This covers the week that ended last Saturday, with 1.9 million people applying for unemployment. That is down from 2.4 million a week earlier. We do note that the number of people continuing to draw jobless benefits is at 21.5 million, meaning the rehiring has been slow. The big unemployment report of the month, covering May, arrives tomorrow. Stock market, the Dow is up 84 points, 0.3%. The S&P 500 is up 0.1%. The NASDAQ composite also up 0.1%. Congress has passed legislation extending the Paycheck Protection Program, which gives loans to small businesses. The Senate passed it yesterday, clarifies some rules and extends some deadlines. Meanwhile, most of the direct cash assistance from the federal government for the pandemic has been spent. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
About 70% of the $1.6 trillion in direct aid from the CARES Act has been distributed by the federal government. This was first reported by the Wall Street Journal with help from the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, a budget watchdog group. The group's president, Maya McGinnis, says this aid that's been spent includes
the checks that have gone to families, the unemployment insurance, the much talked about PPP loans. Those are kind of the big three. And those are all spending out relatively quickly.
And Congress is giving businesses more time to spend those PPP or Paycheck Protection loans. Under the bill passed yesterday by the Senate, those loans will be forgiven if businesses use 60% of the money for payroll instead of 75%. And businesses will have more time to spend the money, 6 months instead of two. That's in response to businesses that complained they couldn't spend their loan money in such a short time when their workers didn't have much to do because they were still closed. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
As temporary protections for renters expire in some places, housing activists worry about a wave of evictions. This week we're asking, how did housing come to be so precarious for so many people? This week's new episode of the Marketplace podcast called The Uncertain Hour looks at the long, long history of U.S. policies that excluded Black people and other groups from access to housing that helped other groups build wealth. The senior producer is my colleague, Caitlin Desch. Greetings.
Hi.
So, the history of now, as you're calling this whole season, very often draws from the experience of the 1930s.
Yeah. Coming out of the Great Depression, President Roosevelt wanted to protect and expand homeownership. So one of the programs he created was the Homeowners Loan Corporation, which basically bought bad loans from banks for pennies on the dollar and refinanced in favor of the homeowner. It was a temporary but effective program. It ended up saving more than 1 million homes from foreclosure, and it also made a modest profit for the government.
Right, but I understand that program has serious implications for the wealth gap among races that we see today.
Yeah, and Black families and other people of color were excluded from these progressive New Deal programs. So they did not have the same opportunity to build generations of wealth through homeownership that white families did. We talked to Aaron Glantz, an investigative reporter at Reveal and the author of a book called Homewreckers. He says these programs introduced redlining.
There were government inspectors who went into every neighborhood in America and literally drew lines on maps and colored neighborhoods with large numbers of people of color red and told the banks and the Homeowners Loan Corporation not to lend in those neighborhoods because they were hazardous.
All right. From Great Depression to Great Recession, the mortgage meltdown of a dozen years ago, Caitlin, we meet a person in your series whose life is still constrained by these policies that have made housing more expensive and their situations more precarious for millions of people, particularly Black people.
Yeah, Vanessa Bulnes is a 61-year-old preschool teacher in Oakland, California. She used to be a homeowner, but she lost her home to foreclosure in 2012. And in the 8 years she's been renting her current house, she's had four different landlords.
When we moved in 2012, it was Waypoint Homes when we were assigned the original lease. And it went from Waypoint Homes to Colony Starwood Homes to Starwood Homes and Blackstone, and now is Invitation Homes.
All of her landlords have been large corporations or private equity firms. And on the podcast, we get deeper into that, and we look at what that means for her wealth and her safety net in the middle of a global pandemic.
The new season of The Uncertain Hour, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Senior producer Caitlin Desch, thank you for this.
Thanks, David.
And because so few people are flying, U.S. airlines have now gotten official approval to temporarily drop service to 75 U.S. airports. For instance, United's temporarily dropping Chattanooga, Delta's dropping Bangor, Maine, and Santa Barbara, California. Federal regulators say all the airports will still have service from at least one airline. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.